I'm going to call this meeting to order. Today is Monday, March 11, 2019. It is 3:16 p.m. Before we begin, I'd like to introduce my committee aide, Deneen Tuck, and thank Selman Holland, our current Labor and Commerce Secretary, and Eileen Keim, the LIO moderator. Am I pronouncing that right? So at this time, I want to remind everybody to turn off their cell phones or to silence their cell phones. So we have here present today Representative Hannon, Representative Brivac, Representative Fields, Representative Tallarico, Representative Stutz, and myself, Co-Chair Ledoux. We do have a quorum to conduct business. On Wednesday, March 6th, we made it through public testimony and closed public testimony, so there will be no further public testimony today. So we are just finishing up right now with the confirmation hearing of the Marijuana Control Board seat, Vivian Stiver, and it's my understanding that Ms. Stiver is online to answer any questions the committee may have, and joining us is my co-chair, Representative Wall. So, do we have questions from the committee for Ms. Stiver? I remember, Representative Stutz, that you had some questions.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think that my it's more of a statement than it is a question, so I'll wait until we're summing up, but I appreciate that.
Do we have any further questions? Representative Wall.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Vivian, for joining us again today. I guess I have some sort of general questions. Is what you see as the main or major issues facing the Marijuana Control Board, and what, if you have any thoughts about them or approaches towards those major issues?
Through the chair, Representative Wall. I think what we need to be careful of moving forward is we have some regulations, you know, well, we have many regulations in place for the industry, is making sure that we're not overlooking an area where they're too restrictive. I think that's the greatest sin of regulation is trying to do it right but causing too much restriction. I've seen regulations like that in the food industry, working within the federal government to priorities currently, that sometimes regulations, you know, they can be overwhelming. So I think going forward, I'm not always sure what the future is going to hold, but the main thing is that these regulations work within the laws that you all in the legislature make, and that they're not restricting the development of an industry.
Thank you.
Any further?
I have other questions.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, Manager. I guess as far as there's a lot of talk about public seat, that your seat is a public seat, and it was an industry seat, or it was industry slash public. There's other seats on the board. There's public health, public safety, rural, industry. Do you see those other seats as also public? We heard a caller last week when you were here saying that the health and the safety seat are also public seats. Do you view them as public as well, like members of the general public like yourself?
No, I see them, through the chair, Representative Wool. No, I see them as very specific to public concern for health, public concern for safety, and also the rural seat has a size designation to be for communities of a certain size. So I think when you have the seat that's industry slash public, that public serves, it's not a different, you serve the same people in a different way. Maybe it's more community oriented, overall how it's working as, you know, everything put together that makes public everyone working together and how it's working in the community.
Follow up.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, in that light, if you see yourself as maybe one of the few true public seats in that the other ones have more specificity. Do you feel that you represent the public, especially in light of the fact that when marijuana, well, I believe when there was a...
We're currently in a private conference. The host has arrived.
I will go ahead and...
All participants are muted.
I think we're back. I'll start my question over again. Are you there, Vivian? Maybe not.
At ease. Is she back on record?
Okay, I think we're back. Ms. Stiver, are you there?
Vivian, are you there?
Rejoining conference.
All right. Yes.
Yeah,
got it. Back, Vivian?
Yes, Madam Chair, I'm back.
Okay.
Great. All right. Representative Wall.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, back to the public role of the role of the public seat, I guess. And I'm just asking your opinion that the marijuana referendum, the marijuana initiative passed by an overwhelming majority. Then there was a subsequent vote in Fairbanks that also passed by an overwhelming majority. I thought one of them was close to 70%. I forget exactly which vote that was, but that's a pretty strong, I mean, any politician with an opponent that got 70% of the vote would be pretty thrilled. So that bearing in mind, do you feel that, I can't remember what you said your vote was on the initial initiative, but do you feel that you represent the public in that way? Also, as was mentioned last, you know, understanding a lot of the issues around the marijuana industry, and there's things like, you know, edibles and concentrates and dabs and, you know, CBDs and percentage, you know, strength and size of portions. Do you think you have an understanding of all those issues, seeing as you're not really involved in the industry or a patron of the industry or consumer of the industry? And do you think the public would be better served by having someone's a little more versed in those issues?
Through the chair, Representative Wool, the vote was 130 no to legalization. And I think it passed with 148,000. So that percentage was 6% passage of Measure 2 legalizing marijuana. The initiative in Fairbanks is the one that went down by 70%, and there was good reason for that. People had invested money. A lot of folks felt that they were being made to vote again so they could get it right, which, you know, it's a hard thing to explain that local option in what was voted to was in ballot measure two, so that was a little difficult to convey. But no, you have it the other way. So 6% marijuana passed the state. The initiative I ran went down by 70%. And yes, any politician would love that number for sure. So you asked me, do I represent the public? I do believe I represent the public. I think 6% is a good margin, but it's still 6%. I think the industry is new. I think having a public member be there to be able to communicate and work with the public brings more confidence in what's going on. Like I said before, and I've said it several times, I am not hearing a bunch of complaints about the industry. It has been crickets. Obviously, things are going right, but I think there's a lot to be done as far as educating the public. Every time I learn something new, I spread it around the people I know. And I say, doesn't that make you feel better about it? You know, think about this. How does that work? So when you talk about the dabs and you talk about vaping and all the other differences within the industry, cultivation, manufacturing, portion control, the degree of variance in the THC quantity allowable in a lab, I will tell you this. I'm a voracious learner. I have already taken the marijuana handler's test. I've got 98% on that. I pay real close attention. I have a couple of folks that I work with that I can ask questions of that are very knowledgeable. And, you know, I think you bring up a very good point. This is an evolving industry. It's so important to remember that communication is not a one-time event. It is always important to keep talking, and that's talking with people in the industry to understand what they need, what's working with regulation, what's not, and moving forward. And I understand the angst and the hesitation and the mistrust, but I also believe that if you've listened to all the testimony that was provided by the industry on that one sheet and listened to my complete testimony instead of a piece here and there, you will see that I never condemned the industry.
Follow-up?
Yeah. Last question. Thank you, Madam Chair, for indulging me, and thank you, Vivian, for answering all these questions. When you came in here last week, you had some people testifying with you that were in the testing industry, the drug and alcohol and workplace testing. And and seeing as that may be an issue going forward, especially in regards to on-site consumption and operation of motor vehicles and these kind of things, that's sort of well established in the alcohol industry, but not so much in the marijuana industry. And I believe the person you're with made a comment about safe levels and mentioned the time frame of 24 hours, that maybe after someone consumed marijuana they'd have to wait 24 hours before driving or something like that. And I can tell you that if I spoken to a user of marijuana, they might say 24 hours, that's crazy. That's like saying if I have a beer or two, I have to wait 24 hours before I drive. So I guess, you know, having that experience, having someone that has insight, I know you're a voracious learner. I just wonder if there's going to be a learning gap there, especially with these issues. I know we have the public health and the public safety people well established. I personally, that's sort of why I'm leaning towards having two industry seats, as is the marijuana, the alcohol board has. But I don't know if you can make any comments about that. And I know that the board will be addressing such things when on-site consumption, which was voted affirmative by the board, that these issues will come up, and what is, you know, how to deal with these levels of inebriation or whatever you want to call it. So I think these will be important issues going forward.
Through the chair, Representative Wool, in Alaska currently, it says that in Alaska, you aren't allowed to have any level of marijuana in your system while driving. The woman you're referring to, Jo McGuire, stated that they had a test that could determine if you'd had marijuana within 24 hours. She did not state, to my recollection, that you could not drive. She just said they have a saliva test now to do that. We're all aware of the gentleman in Anchorage who's facing this man slaughter charge. Now, I was very fortunate. I reached out to the industry, and I had some people talk with me in Anchorage, and this was on the table. So for me, when I hear this and I see this, and this person is being charged for manslaughter, he had THC in his system, and there's a problem knowing whether or not that THC was active at the time of the accident, that's a problem. This man according to the folks that I sat there and talked to about the marijuana, we all know, we knew this when we were in high school, marijuana stays in your system for a long time. And I hear now it could be, depending on your physical makeup, it can be 90 days. But you can't determine whether or not it was active at the time. Yeah, this is a big concern because innocent people, innocent in, you know, non-active THC showing up in your blood and being charged with manslaughter, I think you're right, Representative Wool. It is a concern, and it is an issue. And the saliva test sounds like it's moving toward the direction that we can have a test that we will be able to determine some type of toxicology or limit that we can use.
Thank you.
Are there any further questions for Ms. Steiger? Okay, if there are no further questions for Ms. Stiver, I think I'll let Ms. Stiver have a couple of minutes to just... do you have any closing statement, and then we'll go into committee comments?
Thank you, Chairwoman Ledoux. I do have a closing statement. I want to thank you for the opportunity to address information that was included in the document Ms. Stiver versus Truth, which was provided to you by the Alaska Marijuana Industry Association. The statements in the document were selected from parts of my testimony and do not reflect my testimony as a whole. I encourage you to listen to my entire testimony. I have provided you with the links to my testimony and the documents that support the statements I chose to make as part of my testimony. It is important to remember these statements must be viewed in the time frame they were given as related to events and information. The statement, Colorado opened it up like the old West, and we are fixing to do the very same thing, even more, was made during the time our borough was looking on allowing on-site consumption. Colorado did not allow for on-site consumption, and no state at this writing allows for on-site consumption. In another statement, I said, sativa has been known to cause violence in people. This was suspected during the time at which I made this statement. I have provided the committee with a copy of a more recent article, Marijuana, Mental Illness, and Violence, by Alex Burtonson. As time progresses, we always learn more and we fine-tune our perspectives. I would like to acknowledge that I misspoke in my previous testimony relating to pharmacy, licensing, and dispensing of marijuana, medical marijuana. I had spoken to one person who worked in the pharmacy believing they were one of the pharmacists and did not follow up on what I was told. It was in the early 200s when pharmacists tried to develop a process to dispense marijuana, but it did not gain support. Finally, in regards to the document, Ms. Stiver versus Truth, not one statement listed has me in any way advocating to criminalize marijuana or disrespecting the vote of the people. What I bring to this board are a set of skills that will serve the industry and communities well. I have small business experience, I do my homework, I'm deliberative, and I can speak and listen to information from all stakeholder groups. These skills have developed during my time on Fairbanks City Council, my time as a legislative aide, and as a small business owner. But most importantly, I understand things change. We all must listen to new and relevant information as this young industry moves forward. The people of Alaska have legalized marijuana. It is done, no debate. The board's duty is to regulate the industry following the statutory authority given by the legislature. Regulation should not stunt the growth of this industry, but should work well for both industry and the communities in which they reside. I will look to make decisions on what is in the best interest of the industry, the communities in which they operate, and as prescribed by statutory authority. It is very important to understand that communications are not a one-time event. In order to move forward, all parties must engage in good, productive conversations. Education and process are the key components that will bring success to the cannabis industry and confidence among our communities. This only happens with ongoing communication. I appreciate your time and consideration of my appointment to the Marijuana Control Board. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So do we have a committee? Does anybody on the committee want to comment? Okay. Representative Stutz and then Representative Fields. And
thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. I do have several comments. I know that when we listened to testimony last week, part of the statement made by Ms. Stiver in relation to her activities in Fairbanks was that she felt that it was too premature and Fairbanks wasn't ready for it and they didn't have any statutes or regulations in place. But it would seem rather unprecedented to me to put any kind of statutes or regulations in place before the law has passed. So that was one thing that I thought was a little bit odd. But more than that, as we listened to other people testify. There was a gentleman, I believe his name was Stanton, one of the testifiers, and he testified on behalf of Ms. Stivers. And he was talking about the marijuana industry, and he obviously is not a supporter of the marijuana industry. And it alarmed me greatly to hear him say, there's three of them on the board and we need one of us. That really concerned me, because it's been clear the history of Ms. Stiver is she has not been a supporter of the marijuana industry, and she's been somewhat adversarial to it. So my question would be whether or not she would be able to remain impartial in making determinations and setting up any kind of statutes or regulations for this industry. So I'm finding that it would be hard for me, myself, to support her under those conditions.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. I appreciate Ms. Stiver spending all this time with us and answering all the questions and the many comments of Alaskans. You know, for me, it comes down to there are just too many boarded up storefronts in my district. There's not enough economic activity. I don't see a lot of new businesses opening doors and creating jobs. Honestly, in my district, businesses I do see are medical providers who are able to open up and prosper because of Medicaid expansion, and a significant number of marijuana establishments. And, you know, I don't know if marijuana establishments are the first business that I would pick if I could just pick from any number of businesses, but you know, beggars can't be choosers. And given the number of jobs and investment and people, my constituents who have put really, in some cases, their life savings on the line to engage in entrepreneurship in a way that has been legally sanctioned by voters in the state, I just can't be comfortable voting for someone whose record is prohibitionist. And I appreciate her assurances that she's turned over a new leaf, but I'm sure Ms. Stivers can understand that when I think about my constituents and their savings that they've put into these businesses, that's just not a risk I'm comfortable taking. So I think if the governor had wanted to appoint someone who is skeptical of the industry, it would have been more appropriate to appoint a public health professional. I certainly have concerns about public health. You know, I've heard from nurses who work at the hospital in my district that when they're in the intensive care unit treating babies who are withdrawing from opioids, the withdrawal is much more difficult when the parents of those babies were using both marijuana and opioids. So I think there are very legitimate public health issues around this, but if we're going to deal with those, A, is AMCO the right place to deal with them? B, if we are going to address those, I think we should have a public health professional to consider. So thank you for the time, Madam Chairwoman.
Thank you. Representative Hannon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Like many others, coming into this, the hearing on Ms. Stiver, I had certain concerns, and through the process, I have come to think about the configuration of the board, which was not my initial concern. But the more I think about it, I appreciate the board specificity included today, that the other three members, the public health, the public safety seat, and the rules seat, may not have nor be linked to a family that have financial investment in the industry. And that specific exclusion leads me to conclude that it is important, while this industry gets up and gets regulated at its initial stage, that we do have a couple of members from the industry to look at the practicality of regulations. I've already heard from people saying, you know, here's an example of bad regulation, that there are five required warnings that must be on each packet of legal marijuana sold in the state, even if that packaging is a single marijuana cigarette. And as we all know, that once upon a time in the cigarette packaging regs, you get down to the level that the warnings have to be printed in such small font that no one can read them. So it seems to be one of those regulations that the goal is good, but the practicality of how it functions seems to have defeated its purpose. And I could foresee that in 5 years or 10 years, when we've got things ironed out, that regulating the industry and getting it going from the business perspective are not the primary regulatory issues that they're dealing with, that this doesn't have to be two industry seats. But I've become convinced through the testimony and hearing and thinking about it, as a way for us to generate revenue in a community that has 1.3 million visitors a year that are here for 6 to 8 hours at a time, having on-site consumption is a business growth potential in my communities. And things that we do to stymie that aren't for the benefit. Alaska already had legal right to personally consume, and the only reason that we should have it at the state level of regulation is to be able to be a successful new industry. And for that reason, I'm going to have to oppose her nomination on the floor, and I appreciate the opportunity to learn about it in the committee.
Anybody else? Representative Wong.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. First of all, Vivian, thank you for coming in last week and for being on the phone today. And I know this is probably not necessarily what you expected going into this. And I've certainly known you for many years in Fairbanks and patronized your business or businesses and enjoyed them very much. That being said, as a licensee myself of an alcohol license that is regulated by a board, and my industry, like the marijuana industry, has many different license types. And there's retail, there's wholesale, there's manufacturing, as there is in marijuana. And I know on the alcohol board, there's two industry people, and I'm very appreciative of that because they're not in the same types of lines of the industry. So certain issues come up for package store regulation that doesn't affect, say, retail on-site consumption of alcohol. They're very different. And the same with marijuana. You have cultivation, and they're paying a tax where retail isn't paying any tax right now. They deal with more packaging. There's computer systems. There's a lot of issues that are sort of unique to different aspects of the industry. And I think having two members industry on the board is not too many. And I know this governor wanted to eliminate both alcohol and marijuana boards, put forth legislation for that, which I don't support. And I think these industries should be regulated. They should be well regulated. It shouldn't be the Wild West. And I wouldn't want all five seats to be industry, that's for sure. I don't think two is too many. And I think because the industry has a lot of issues besides on-site consumption, there are other issues coming forward. That should be looked at with a lot of discriminating eyes, including public health, public safety, rural, and they're all members of the public as well. And I think I do support the two industry seat model, and I was sad to see it go. And also, we've gotten so much communication from the industry with concerns about your previous position. So it will be a tough confirmation for some of us to approve.
Any further questions? Further comments? I know that there was a request to hold this designee. That's not how things are done in the Alaska legislature. This isn't the U.S. Senate. So. We hear from the designees, and we question them and so forth, and then regardless of what anybody wants or doesn't want to do, those names are forwarded. So with that, Representative Wall.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The House Labor and Commerce Committee has reviewed the qualification of the governor's appointee and recommends that the following name be forwarded to a joint session for consideration. Vivian Stiver, Marijuana Control Board. This does not reflect intent by any of the members to vote for or against this individual during any further sessions for the purposes of confirmation.
So the name will be forwarded to the joint session, and after we adjourn, please stay behind to sign the confirmation committee report. Thank you, Vivian, for presenting yourself to the committee in person last week and for being here today. One further comment I'd like to make, and that is to the public. Public testimony was closed at our meeting on Wednesday. I'm not quite sure what happened, but this showed up on basis and as being a public testimony today, and that wasn't the case. So if any members of the public were inconvenienced, I apologize for that. Our next meeting is going to be on Wednesday, March 13th, 2019. We stand adjourned at 3:48.